Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this gnarly episode of Transmissions, Make Toys gives us a colorized look at their masterpiece scaled G1 Dirge. Transformers Generation Select Smokescreen goes up for pre-order, and is Moss Toys going under? Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2019, and this is episode 326 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that still doesn't feel so good, Mr. Stark. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hello there.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, everybody. How about those Avengers? Let's talk Transformers.
All right. Daryl, the most important member of the Transmissions team.
Thank you. For that.
The man behind the Transmissions podcast. Meaning it must suck for him when we have Mexican food.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those beautiful people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. You guys make this show possible. Help us keep the fires burning, keep the wheels turning. We very deeply appreciate it. So thank you for your support. And we hope you will continue that support. And if you are not a Donatrion and would like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And there you will find links to donate to the show. Again, we give out lots of perks for that. Some merchandise, our Talalar 1 comic. We've still got a bunch of those to give away. And we do the show live, and we have some bonus content that we put out from time to time. In particular, that Transmissions Declassified thing that we're going to get back to at some point.
Yeah, we're really good at putting that out.
If you don't want to, you know, give regularly to the show, we do appreciate you visiting our store, transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And there you can pick up some custom Transmissions merchandise, including t-shirts and other paraphernalia. You could also go to our good friend K-Girl's shop. Her shop is at, I've got it, don't worry, it's at tpublic.com/user/superstarK.
Well done.
That's all. We did have a sale today. Someone bought like a Transformers shirt using our link. So thank you, whoever you are. It's awesome.
Yes. The kickback is in the mail, Jeremy. I hope.
I hope so. I've never had a kickback.
I sent a shrapnel.
It's not a kickback, though.
It'll do.
They tried to fix it by putting a K in shrapnel, but that's still not a kickback.
Oh, don't remind me. Yeah, so transversuspodcast.com/shop. You can look at our stuff there. All right, so let's get the show started with some toy news.
All right, and this week we are starting off the show with some news from Make Toys. They revealed a color image of one of their cone heads. This is the first cone head to get a color prototype sample, and it is Dirge, or what they're calling Endgame. What? Oh, it's like everything's coming together right at the perfect time. This is the same mold that they've used for their other Seekers, with a slight difference, obviously. The wings are different, and the head is different, because it's a cone. Yeah, so the other two cone heads, Booster, which is their G1 Thrust, and Jetstream, which is their Ramjet, they are not done yet, but are coming. So if you are looking to do the full Seekers in Masterpiece scale, Make Toys has got your back. And I believe these things are going for about $120. I'm going to double check here, but that's what the original Seekers were going for. Jeremy, what are your feelings on Endgame here?
I think it's great. I have never had any of the cone heads in any iteration. So if I was looking for a Masterpiece scaled one, this thing looks great. I love what they do with the back picture, where you can see kind of the mechanism for the transforming of the wings. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like looking at the different ones and seeing how the wings are completely, you know, different, yet the body is pretty much the same. It's going to be interesting to see how they pull it off, because it looks like that wing is not removable. Like, it looks like it's in there by a pin. Mm-hmm. So what do they do to the mold to facilitate all three variants, or do they have slight differences? But this guy looks great. I love his the big chunky weapons.
And mm-hmm. I did just look on BBTS, and it is 120. Pre-orders for this guy are up. It also appears as though they one of the places has mixed up the names, whether it's this article, which is more likely, or BBTS, but they're showing as the Thrust being called Jetstream and Ramjet being called Booster. It might matter to somebody. So there you go. And that they're coming with a bonus. I don't know what this bonus is. It just says bonus gift. I don't know what that is. Oh, features bonus items that are wing fillers for the Lightning, which was their Thundercracker. So that's kind of cool. And I believe the other ones must come with the wing fillers for the other Seekers. Now, what the other thing I wanted to say to you, Charles, is that we've had a lot of discussions, and one of the big critiques about the Takara Coneheads was that their head was a faux head. It wasn't the actual cone of the plane. Now, if you're looking in picture 5, you can see that Make Toys has done similarly the exact same thing. Do you find this to be a cop-out for a third-party company, which has the resources to kind of, especially a company like Make Toys, which you think maybe they would have, you know, engineered it or figured out a way to do it? Does this kind of ruin it for you, or are you okay with that?
It is. It does feel a little cheaty to me. Like it's. I'm okay with it, but it feel because I feel like at least to get the right proportions for the robot head versus the plain nose cone.
Right.
It's going to be difficult. It's like if you do use the actual plain nose cone, the head would look really out of proportion with the body.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since it looks like they're going for the animation look.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can at least understand and sympathize with having to make that decision. I still don't like the idea of having a fake nose cone there. I mean,
why not figure out a way to make the cone, like the actual nose cone, go in a little bit to make it shorter for the head mode?
Yeah.
I don't know. But if you did that, you'd also have to squeeze an actual face in there as well, too, right? So
yeah,
it's maybe one too many things that you're trying to do with it.
Yeah.
Stupid physics.
I mean, other than that, it's a really good looking figure. Both the plane mode and the robot mode are really nice. The robot mode is very close to the animation model. I like how they include two sets of arm cannons, so you can get like the original three Seeker arm cannons versus the Conehead Seeker.
The toy accurate ones.
Yeah.
Those big chunky ones, yeah.
Yeah, so I like that. Like, the multiple faces is always nice. It looks much better proportioned than the Takara Masterpiece versions. And the face looks nicer. So those are all good. But yeah, that faux head is still a sticking point for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not really collecting masterpieces and much less third-party masterpieces, so I'm probably not in the market for these anyway.
Right.
But for me, it's not making me change my mind. You know, with the faux head is kind of clearly saying it's not for me. But the wings do look like the particular detail in the wings and how they flip up and everything, that looks good.
Yeah. I love the color palette myself. Obviously, this is going for the original G1 color palette of Dirge. And you don't think that tan and blue are going to work, but they do. They really do. The one angle that they have of him kind of like in robot mode flying towards the camera, that's a great shot. I love that. This thing's got some really good posability. This is a Seeker mold. This is compliments that I can give to any of them. Like, the articulation is in any of those Seekers. The sleek look of the jet, it's true for all of them. Make Toys is not really changing the game on any of these. They're just slapping some different wings on them and changing the way that the cone transforms and putting a head in there. It's just their design, and it looks really good. I'm really looking forward to how their thrust is going to look. He was always my favorite cone head. Something about the maroon, it just really works for me. But the cone heads always have been a really cool trio to me. And I do have the Takara version of the original Seekers, and I've kind of been on the fence of getting, you know, some cone heads. And at $120, they're really not unattainable. You know, they're pretty affordable. So, you know, this is something that I really might look at getting, especially if I walk up, once they're all out, if I walk up to a dealer and they've got all three and say, hey, you know, 360, how about 300 and try and work a deal out. Then they will say yes. And then I will say, oh, I only have 250. Can you do 250? No, they'll always say yes, and I will get them for much cheaper. But no. Anyway, that was my topic for today. Jeremy, what have you got for us?
I got some bad news. If you're a fan of Moss Toys, It appears that they are shutting down. We have a story here from toywizards.com that says, like, apparently they also did Robotech third-party toys. They are blaming a factory problem and are projecting numbers like 1 to 3 years away, which is essentially like with financial issues, it is more likely they're going to shut down. Big Bad Toy Store has canceled all of their pre-orders and no word on refunds, but it says here customers are attempting to get refunds. Mm-hmm. So that is not necessarily good news, but I think they've had things that have been delayed for a while. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's getting tough out there for the smaller, you know, third-party companies. It's not like, you know, Make Toys, who they have a great reputation, lots of stuff in the pipeline. They probably have great deals with their factories and stuff. I don't think Mass Toys had all that much stuff, you know, in the market. And if they were having financial problems, they probably. This is just speculation, but I'm wondering if they were having problems paying the factory, so the factory isn't motivated to do anything. You know, you're not able to bring in money, so you're not able to pay money out, and probably, you know, something like that is my guess. So, Daryl, what are your thoughts on this?
The one thing that kind of has been, you know, kind of sticking at me at this is, I remember when we were first talking about Maz Toys a little bit more substantially, it's when they were in the beginnings and in the meat part of their crowdfund. They were doing that mm-hmm. crowdfund for the Air Soldiers project. I don't know how far it got. I found a link here that's showing it at just under 70%. So they had just under $55,000 in pledges towards their cause. Now, this is not through Kickstarter. This is not through GoFundMe. This is through Maz Toys.
And that's what we warned on the front end. It's...
Right. So
was this where you were billed immediately?
I don't know. I didn't do this one. I stayed out of it. I'm still very
DJ Ronan says it's billed on completion.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
At least that's good.
There are people out there that are still like, they're still trying to get, they've put money in to Maz Toys, and I don't know exactly what for. There's a couple things that they were trying to do.
Pre-orders.
Yeah. I hope that that's able to be recognized or reconciled. It's like they had a little thing where it looked like a pipes was stomped on, and that's something that would fit underneath the Overlord from figure. There's another... I remember... We had Spencer on, and he was kind of representing Maz Toys in the North American market, and he was telling us about the Robotech stuff that was coming through, that they had gotten the license for Robotech. I don't think we ever saw any of it. I think we saw some prototypes at TFCon. I know TFCon Toronto last year was the last time I saw any of their stuff.
I was just looking at their website, and like as of like March 3rd, they have a post dated March 2nd that they were going to be on TFYLP that next night.
Oh,
I don't know if they did or not.
Interesting. Yes, I don't know.
month and a half ago.
It's unfortunate. It really is. There are a lot of people that were really hoping for a lot of this stuff. I mean, they made some of those early stuff, which was the Bumblebee on the with the Cybertronian mode. And I know that they had a couple other things in the works. They had an uncrushed pipes, a brawn, a couple other mini bots that really looked pretty good. Yeah. But
like all Cybertronian modes.
Look all like. Cybertronian modes, yeah. So, but yeah, this kind of sucks.
Well, Charles, you have any comments on this?
I feel a little bad because I think we did at least, you know, on the show, we did at least promote it a little bit. And I mean, I think we did put the caveats, you know, about crowdfunding, but it's kind of bad for anything like this to kind of fail. And then maybe if people didn't pay into it up front, then that's at least good. But yeah, it's always disappointing when this happens.
But you also do have to wonder if people did pay up front, would they be in this situation? Because they would have the cash,
maybe.
At 70% of their goal. But the cash would probably be going to other parts of their business and not this one project.
Yeah.
Probably a no-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, I would like to get more detail on what the manufacturing mishap was. Like, if it's something where... like there was some like something where a whole line had to be scrapped or something, wouldn't wouldn't the factory be liable, or is it something like where there was a design issue and they had to?
I mean, like I said, they could have been blaming a factory mishap, but it could just be more cash flow.
Yeah,
I mean, you're also applying North American kind of standards to Asian markets.
Well, yeah, that too.
Well, I mean, they do business with North American distributors, so I assume there's some contracts in place that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure lots of folks are disappointed. I mean, I know DJ Ronan in particular was looking forward to those Seekers and Stars. You know, he's a big Starscream guy, so you know, not getting that Starscream has got to hurt. So, not a good look for Mazz Toys.
Charles, why don't you bring us up? What do you got this week?
All right. Well, I have a quick update on the Generation Selects smokescreen we talked about last week. So that was first shown in the previews catalog for a comic book store, comic book direct market stores. But now in the last week, it has shown up on the Hasbro Pulse site. So you can pre-order it directly from Hasbro Pulse if you desire it. And pre-orders are up until May 18th. It's $20, just like in the previews catalog. Supposed to come out in October, I believe. That's when it should, like, if you order it now, that's when it should start showing up. Jeremy pointed out to me that apparently Smokescreen, Prowl, and Barricade are all Praxians. They're from Praxis now, which is an interesting detail that they've added to the these characters.
That's Cybertronian for Datsun.
So, so we're just waiting for Blue Streak. So Blue Streak should be a Praxian too, right? So that's interesting.
I guess so. Does that make Barricade a Praxian?
Yeah, it says third Praxian character. Barricade and Prowl sold separately.
Oh, so Barricade, okay, cool, yeah.
I think Barricade is the fourth Datsun brother now. So
he just went evil.
The black sheep.
Yeah.
We did.
He's like, I'm gonna go into the police like my brother Prowl. Yeah. I'll abuse my position.
Mom will be proud. We're all police. We're all policemen, right?
Someone let Barricade watch The Departed, and he got the wrong idea from that movie. So he decided to become a dirty cop. Another. We also did get some feedback this week from one of our listeners, Spideris Prime, who mentions that. He says that this smokescreen is going to be in the 35th anniversary line. We don't have any confirmation of that yet, but I think a big clue is that this smokescreen doesn't have any battle damage on him. So all the 35th anniversary line that was shown at Toy Fair for, I believe it was Optimus Prime and Megatron and I think a Sound Blaster and then maybe a Thundercracker. Those were all shown without any battle damage, so maybe that's true. But we don't have any, I guess, official confirmation on that. But Yeah, so that's a quick update on our friend Smokescreen. The other thing I wanted to mention was we have some videos, some stop motion animation promotional videos for the War for Cybertron Siege line, and these are coming out of Hasbro Taiwan. So Hasbro Taiwan has produced two videos. They're in the style of like a fighting video game where you're selecting players to fight, and then the players are Transformers characters. So the first video has Flywheels or Skytread and Starscream versus Hound and Cog. And then the second video is Ultra Magnus versus Shockwave. And these are really cool, like, you know, stop motion animations. They are using the actual toys and everything is done kind of, you know, practical effects. The one little weird thing for me is that the background scenes are, they look like they're taking place in a human city on Earth. So it's kind of against the whole War for Cybertron theme for these toys. But other than that, they're all great videos. And in particular, the first video with Hound and Cog shows off Flywheel's ability to combine and also Cog's ability to become like a bunch of weapons for Hound. And they're both really cool videos. So, Daryl, did you get a chance to watch either of these?
I'm watching one right now.
And what do you think?
I think it's funny. At one point, I see Hound blow Skytread in half. And he kind of crawls up back to his body or his bottom half. It's clever. It's showcasing the use of the figures, and that is pretty cool. So, yeah, I like it. Anything to show off the playability of these figures is better. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love it. I'm watching the end of that first one, and it's funny how they have Starscream, like, once Hound kind of powers up with Cog, Starscream just bugs out of there.
Yeah.
Always a coward.
This is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ultra Magnus versus Shockwave one is really cool too, because it shows like Ultra Magnus with his armor gets blown off and then gets reattached, and Shockwave gets the, you know, the forearm version with his extra armor, and it's all pretty cool. And I also like the fighting game theme too, where you're you know, and then at the end of the video, you know, it's like Hound wins, yeah, victory, mm-hmm. whatever. Which is interesting, since it's a Taiwanese video, but the at least the first video is all, everything's in English. The second video does have like the first part introduction is in Chinese, but then the rest of the other mm-hmm. spoken dialogue is in English. So, and all the text is in English too. So, but yeah, these are cool promotional videos. So I wish Hasbro US would put out stuff like this, or contract someone.
If only they knew some studio that did stop motion animation.
That's just crazy talk, Jeremy. All right. Well, that's my toy topic. So let's finish up the toy segment with some rapid fire toys.
Absolutely, positively, definitely. Nobody can get the job done faster than I can. Nobody.
As usual, this is the section of the show where we're going to talk about what the Toy Hacks update of the month is, and it is April, and we are talking about the April update. So first up, we have some stuff from Siege. Toy Hacks has been doing some really good work with the Siege toy line, and especially with some of the cool stickers they've developed for Siege Starscream. Definitely bringing some details to life with that. So if you're looking for that, they also did one for Soundwave.
Sorry, I don't want to slow this down any further.
Oh, this is so slow now. It's not my fault.
I want to call out the Starscream set in particular, because they added a little fin on the top of the Starscream figure, so his Tetrajet mode looks much better and much more like a Tetrajet. So I really appreciate what they've mm-hmm. done with this particular set for Starscream.
Cool.
That is nice.
Yeah. It does add a little bit more of a triangular shape, eh?
Yeah.
Right on.
Carry on.
Can I continue then? All right, good.
Yes.
The next set is Soundwave from Siege. I'm surprised they got this figure. I haven't seen one yet, but maybe they have a deal with Hasbro. Probably not, but they've got some really cool stuff for Soundwave. I think they have a cel-shaded look for his tape deck, which I might get because I don't want to have to clean off that damn door. So that in and of itself makes this set worthwhile for me. But yeah, it looks really good. So take a look at that if you're interested. We have some stuff that if you really like the scratched up, beaten up look of the figures coming out of Siege, they have made sticker sets so you can add damage to your set, to your figures. So go ahead and pick this thing up and you can add scrapes and bullet holes and all kinds of crazy crap to your figures. They have a picture here of Siege Sideswipe, who, if you can recall him, has very little in the way of damage on his car hood. Well, they've gone ahead and scraped him up and put a whole bunch of mess of stickers on him to make him look like he's been through hell. So if you're into that, you can get this.
Because if it's one thing that we've been asking for the War for Cybertron Siege line, it's more battle damage.
Well, maybe somebody has.
Well, maybe you can just take the stickers and put them on other toys, like some G1 toys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Shut up, Jeremy. If you're into Studio Series, then they have your Bumblebees covered. They have done the Studio Series Camaro Bumblebee and the Studio Series Beetle Bumblebee with some sticker sets here. This is the Camaro one. So that one looks pretty good. And the Volkswagen Beetle one, again, they didn't put the number here for the Studio Series, but it's the Beetle. So there you go. They both look pretty good. And yeah, so if you're looking to add some cel-shaded look to the windows, the Volkswagen one definitely has that available to it. The Camaro one has a lot more like dirt and grime. You can add it, make it look a little dirtier, which it was definitely in the movie. They heard the fan base asking for it, and they tweaked their Titans Return Soundwave set so that it would also fit on the Target exclusive figure. So if you've been clamoring for a set for that that Target exclusive Soundwave in the really cool box, they've got it. So take a look there. G1 reissues. I know we've all had a really good time getting those. But if you wanted to put some stickers on the mini bots that you've been able to pick up at Walmart, they have a set for the first round, the first wave of the mini bots. So Bumblebee, Tailgate, Swerve, and Outback all have sets for stickers. It's one big set, really. And it adds a whole bunch of stuff. You can add cell shading to Bumblebee, his windows. You can change his facial expression. So you give him the original face mask. Outback gets some stuff. And everybody gets a little bit of something. It's kind of nice. As far as more cell shading goes, this seems to be quite popular. They did a couple more sets for Masterpiece figures. And for Masterpiece Laserwave or Shockwave, they did a cel-shaded look for him, and it gives him a little bit more stuff on him. Obviously, Shockwave doesn't have a lot of windows, but that main one in the front, you get a nice big cel-shaded look. And then Wheeljack, Wheeljack gets a cel-shaded look as well. I feel this one would look much better on the animation colors Wheeljack, but I'm sure it would look good on the Toy Accurate one as well. Moving on to third party, they have a few sets here. One is for the Mastermind Creations Inventa. That is their Skylynx shuttle component. And this is a giant, giant set because it's a giant, giant figure. And they've added basically the G1 stickers to this thing. So if you remember G1 Skylynx, he has these gold striping along the side of them. Well, this has it now. They've added some other fun stickers, especially the one on one of the rear thrusters. the name of the shuttle is the Nimoy. That's kind of fun. Obviously, you can choose to not put that on if you don't want it, but I think it's very fun. So a lot of these on there, you can also swap out that for just Skylinks. They have that here. A bunch of other very space-accurate NASA Star Trek stickers. They're all very fun. Also in third party, you've got Unique Toys Broodlord Lash Lair. That's one hell of a name. But that is basically G1 Blastoff. And they've done some stickers for him. Again, the cel-shaded look on the cockpit windows. And a couple stickers along the sides, including a descriptive window or a sticker along the top of them there saying Decepticon Space Force. The first member of the Space Force is Blastoff. And lastly, the last third-party figure is from Generation Toys, Generation Toy, and it is the one of the parts of their Guardia, and it's Sergeant, and it is the Streetwise figure. And again, Streetwise for Defensor was basically just a police car, so this is just a lot more stickers to turn their Streetwise into a much more police car-looking police car and G1-ifying their figure. But that's it. That's the April update. Sorry, I wasn't rapid enough for you, Jeremy.
It's okay. I'll just drink some more coffee.
Let's shuffle on over to trips to the store. This is where we show off all the cool Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video that we will put on YouTube so you can see everything in beautiful high definition. But we'll also put the audio right here in the podcast so you can continue to listen to us describe all our merchandise in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store. So let's get into what we got this week. And I'm going to go first because I don't have a whole lot of stuff. I picked up two comics. These are Transformers number 3. I got the Anna Malkova one. And I got the Guido Guidi retailer incentive. My comic shop has started ordering more Transformers comics with the new series. So hopefully that continues and I can start getting more variants.
You didn't get cover A? You didn't pull a Shelton?
I did not pull a Shelton. I am officially swearing off pulling a Shelton. I think I've said that several times already. It's too expensive.
But it keeps your comic book store getting our eyes.
No, it needs to be more than me just doing it.
It doesn't have to.
I'd have to buy 30 copies to get our eyes at my store all the time.
I thought they were like 1 to 10.
Yeah, it's just 10. You just have to buy 10.
Oh, just 10. Oh, okay. Just 10. Yeah. Okay.
And then you have to buy the RI.
I also finally picked up the Bumblebee movie. Not Bumblebee, Bumblebee. Bumblebee movie on Blue. No, not on Blu-ray, on 4K. 4K Ultra plus Blu-ray plus digital. That did come with the Sector 7 comic. That's terrible. I agree with everyone else's assessment that this is a terrible comic. Soundwave talks way too much in this comic, and the dialogue is pretty bad. So, and it features Agent Simmons, which is kind of a weird choice. But
well, because he was in the movie,
yeah.
Instead of after the movie, I didn't have a problem with that part.
Yeah,
everything else,
yeah. But the Bumblebee movie is good. I popped it in today to watch those first opening minutes of Cybertron. That's a really cool scene. It looks beautiful in 4K. This is not Transformers, but I also picked up Into the Spider-Verse, because that's also a great movie from last year. I had a gift card at Best Buy, so I went got a couple movies.
And this is also 4K. Non-Transformers.
But everyone loves Spider-Man.
Show off your 4K TV.
I finally have 4K content I can watch on my 4K TV.
Yeah, I was happy. The digital copy of Bumblebee, when I redeemed it, like on Apple upgrades it to 4K. So,
all right. Well, that's all I got this week. So, Daryl, we move on to you. What do you got?
What? I'm not last. I did get a comic. This is the A cover. This is the one that I liked. This is the homage to the Lord of the Rings. I'm assuming it very much looks like it. So, yeah, I like this cover. It looks good. It's the Nick Roche cover. And I believe it's Josh Bertram that does the coloring. I also got a G1 figure. This is one that I was missing. This is, as according to G1 naming, this is Frenzy. But it's the red one. So call him whichever you want. He's in really good condition.
It's Frumble.
Kind of completes my G1 Decepticon tapes, except for Ratbat. I kind of need Ratbat. Let me know if you have a Ratbat. The only other thing that I wanted to show off, this is what I had last week, kind of. But now he's together. This is the Abominus kit from Transform Dreamwave. I put him together. He's got a lot of things to work with. A lot of work went into putting him together. He's not easy. This is the only way that he'll go together if you use all the pieces. So you need to have Sinner Twin and what's his name? Cutthroat at the bottom. And then the arms can be the other two, Ripper, Snapper, and Blot. These shin pieces here, they come off really, really easily. Like really easily. They just kind of slide into place, so I'll put that back on later. One of the biggest problems with it was the kneecap piece. Why you have to have Sinner Twin and Cutthroat as legs is because this kneecap piece will not go on to these figures because they have the headpiece here on the top. It kind of overlaps, and when you try to put the kneecap piece on, it just doesn't go. But I really like this guy. I would have really liked it if they had upgraded also some like ratchets in him, because it adds a lot of beef to Hunger as well. He makes him really heavy. He can collapse under his own weight now. It's definitely one of those figures that could have helped with some other pieces. The feet here are really quite flimsy, so there is no ratchet in this side ankle tilt, and he will collapse under that as well. He looks fantastic. If I can just keep him standing, I'll be very happy. Other than that, it's not bad. Is it worth the $50 I paid for it? I don't know. It's quite expensive. I think he's really cool looking now. So up to anyone else if it's personal preference, but it's definitely a cool set if you want to get into something that's a little bit of work. And you might have to shave down the pegs on the arms or the feet, because some of them are a little too big to get into the holes on the figure. But yeah, that's the only other thing that I wanted to show off this week. He's a big mamma jamma now. So I'm going to keep him probably in this mode as long as I can find a place that he'll stand.
Let's have him like leaning, like using another bot as a something to lean on.
Yeah, that's likely what I'll do.
Jeremy, you're back again this week. So what were you up to last week?
I was in the galaxy far, far away called Chicago. Let me get the main Transformer thing out of the way. I got the same comic Daryl got, so not going to say anything anymore. I was at Star Wars Celebration, and I got a nice hat because I was at the Rise of Skywalker Episode 9 panel, and I neglected to bring back the Happy Meal box they gave me. They gave out these stocking caps and free Happy Meal boxes that did have a hamburger and fries in it, which when you're there waiting for a couple hours with a 4-year-old, it's a great thing to have. But I forgot the Happy Meal box. But I got some pins. I met up with the people from the Cantina cast and Earglue Media. One of the guys on there, Jonesy, is a Donatrion for our show. So it's nice spending some time with them. And I found some Transformer stuff. I did take a picture of some very overpriced statues, like Transformer statues, but they're overpriced wherever you get them. It wasn't just the convention. I also, since I'm talking about the convention here, I'll say I did meet up also with James Reyes, who's a Transformers artist. Talked with him for a while. He is doing some project he couldn't really tell me about, but he interviewed me for it. So that was pretty cool. I'm sure whenever it comes out, I'll have more information then. But I got a mystery box. Stylin' Online was there, and they have mystery boxes for everything. I got a Decepticon mystery box. The box itself is deceptive because there was this spacer in it.
Oh.
So burned. I was like, I'm getting a huge box. And
no.
But it has some cool stuff. I got, this is a business card holder that is Marvel Comics. Oh, the number is marked off, but Charles, what issue is that?
I think it's number 10, isn't it?
Yeah, it's issue 10.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And
boom!
Good job, Daryl.
That's a win. That's a win for me.
Oops. I've got full of my podcast cards that just fell out. So
when you showed that on Twitter, you had your podcast cards in it already. I thought you got something that had your cards in it given to you. I'm like, how the hell did that happen?
It was a custom job.
Yeah.
It came with a wallet with Shockwave on it. It's cool. I've already, my wallet was breaking apart, so it was great. This is all from the company Buckle Down. So have licensed stuff. A seatbelt keychain. So it's like, it looks like a seatbelt. Decepticon keychain. A lanyard, which, you know, fine. I have much better lanyard. It says Transmissions Podcast on it. And a belt. Decepticon belt. So, I think that's it. So, I mean, I think I paid $50 for it. I'd say that's probably $50 worth of stuff. Kind of wished, I mean, I knew I wasn't going to get a figure, but kind of wished there would be something more than, like, a belt and wallet and stuff. But These mystery boxes are fun. I'm starting to get into them.
Merchandise is merchandise, right? All right. Well, I think that's all our Transformers merchandise for this week. All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we'll move on to convention news.
All right, in convention news this week, just one thing. Our friends at WTF at TFW have posted the Friday podcast roundtable from TFCon. This has people from Steel City Bots, Gamepads Unplugged, Figure Nights Theater, and The Syndicate, as well as the WTF TFW crew. I think this one is also including, the name just blanked.
Seth. Yoshi?
Yeah, Seth. No. Yoshi wasn't there yet. Yoshi was
no,
in Oral
wasn't
City.
There. You know, I'm just joking
but,
around.
You know, since it was in California, Seth was able to go. So
he was, yes, he was there. He was also at the Sunday panel as well.
Cool. So, and them posting this so far after the fact makes me not feel so bad about not having my C2E2 video out yet. So thanks, Chris. That's convention news.
All right, well, let's finish up the show with some feedback. Okay, we have one piece of feedback from Dual Mirrored Gridwork. He left a comment on episode 325. So he asks, as far as the War for Cybertron Siege line is concerned, do you think that their alt modes are that far removed from Earth modes? They're supposed to be... their Cybertronian modes are supposed to be similar size and shape to their Earth modes, but the new line looks more like futuristic Earth modes than anything else, and not really Cybertronian. And do you think Hasbro was really scared to make Optimus Prime look like issue one of the Marvel Comics, the Battle Shopping Cart, he calls that mode? And they wanted to go ahead with something alien, but yet familiar. Dual Mirrored Gridwork, I don't know. I mean, we've had this discussion a lot on the show. I think ever since we saw the first figures from War for Cybertron Siege at SDCC last year, we talked about how the alt modes don't really look all that Cybertronian. So, yeah, we are in agreement that the, some of the, in particular, Sideswipe, Prowl, they just look like, you know, Earth cars.
Optimus
looks like a truck with some extra lights on top. I think they're doing a better job with some of the other figures. Shockwave was already pretty alien. I think Ultra Magnus, you know, he doesn't look all that Earth-like, so he looks yeah,
using
he looks
that
more
RD 2001 design was good.
Yeah, exactly. Cog, of course, is not very not looking like an Earth vehicle at all. But yeah, I mean, I agree that some of the figures they're making them look very much like their G1 characters in their alt modes, but that just makes them look like Earth cars. So I mean, also the I guess the Tetrajets, those are the Seekers are,
Those are, you know, clearly alien.
Exactly. And and then we, you know, we did get some gems like the Laserbeak figure. That was a nice surprise. But yeah, it's been a I think Hasbro is trying to straddle the line between recognizable and G1 like enough, but also quote unquote Cybertronian. So yeah, it's I guess it's up to each person whether it's enough or not enough. It's weird because they did, I mean, they did already have this War for Cybertron idea when they made toys based on the video games. So it's kind of odd that they don't stray closer to those designs from the video games. But I guess they just wanted to get away from that and do something different. Since they're already reusing the name, maybe they don't want to reuse all those designs as well. Daryl, you have any thoughts?
Well, I mean, yeah, if I can play devil's advocate for a second, I mean, define Cybertronian, right? I mean, how many times have we seen a Cybertronian version of, say, Optimus Prime, right? In any aspect of the media, say comic books or television or toy form, right? Mm-hmm. What version is now the be-all, end-all? Is issue one of the Marvel Comics run, is that going to be the one? Or is it animated, right? Is animated's Optimus Prime, you know, is that the his alt mode, is that the version? Or, you know, so what is defined Cybertronian, right? Yeah, so this version of Siege or this Siege version is it looks a little Earth-like. Mm-hmm. So what exactly is Cybertronian? We've had umpteen different takes on it so far. This is just another one, and in maybe even next year we'll get another one, and maybe a year after that or whatever we'll get more of them.
We already are. We're getting the Galaxy Prime.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's another one, and that's if you want to compare them both, I would say the Galaxy Prime looks more alien. Yeah, sure, but are they the same Prime? You know, are they supposed to be the same character? Are they in two different universes? Are they, you know, year one, year two Optimus? If you're trying to reconcile this in your brain as to what is the tried and true Cybertronian version of Optimus Prime, you're going to go insane trying to figure that out because there isn't one. You know, pick one for yourself and use that one. If you like War. Battle Shopping Cart, which I really actually like that name, it's hilarious, then go with Battle Shopping Cart. If there's ever a toy of it, then you're ahead. But if there isn't, then that's the one that you like the most and enjoy that one. You can't be mad at, because they can't be. They're trying to do different things all the time. And I give them credit for trying to do things differently because I used to play with Lego as a kid and I was trying to build a Transformer out of Lego as a kid and I couldn't do it. I mean, that was my child brain trying to figure it out, but I still couldn't do it. These guys are figuring out how to build or how to transform a jet plane differently every single time.
Yeah.
That's insane. Just think about that for a moment. This is when it transforms into its alt mode, it looks the same time after time after time after time. The transformation is different every time, and it comes out looking the same on both ends, but it transforms differently. That's mind-boggling how difficult that is. They're turning the same things into the same things, but doing it differently time after time. That's got to drive them insane. You know, I give these guys credit because they're brilliant at what they do, but find a Cybertronian Optimus or Cybertronian mode of whatever car you feel or figure you feel and go with it.
I am still partial to War Within Optimus Prime.
That's a great one.
That's my favorite one.
That's a great one. The I really like the Cybertronian Optimus Prime from the, I think it was Cybertron, War for Cybertron Optimus. That figure is insane to transform, you know, but it's really cool. War for Cybertron is a piece of cake and is a laugh compared to that one. Cybertronian mode Optimus Prime is fantastic. I mean, it says it even in the name. It's Cybertronian mode.
I would imagine as we go through the next two phases of this War for Cybertron, like whatever's after Siege and whatever's after that, we'll see the same characters with different modes, and I would think the last one would be in Earth mode.
Yeah.
But I do think that they are probably scared to vary too much from what you expect the character to look like, at least in this initial line.
And who's to say that characters, what, they can't change colors throughout their quote-unquote life? So Optimus is red and blue. Is he always red and blue? Like,
yes.
He can born. Change... He can change his shape and how he transforms and what he transforms into, but he can never change his color. Seems ridiculous.
All right. Well, hope that answers your question, DMG. And that'll do it for our feedback this week. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Sorry, we had some internal transmissions business to take care of before tonight's show. So,
yeah, if you will notice, Yoshi is not here this
time. I'm joined by the excellent transmissions team, Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hello there.
Oh, and Daryl, the Cybertronian beast. I don't know what I was waiting for.
Did you forget about me?
What? Star Wars more popular than Transformers?